There are two customs associated with the Yom Tov of Purim which at first glance seem puzzling. The first is the minig to dress up, to wear masks and costumes. What's the purpose of such a minig? We know the Torah looks askance at any person who doesn't present themselves honestly, someone who hides their true intentions. This, of course, is the basis of the Isser of Gnevas Das. So why do we hide ourselves behind masks on Purim? Perhaps we can offer one answer based on a comment that the Rav made in a Kinnis Tshuva Drasha. The Rav pointed out that throughout Tanakh we find different people dressing up in special clothing. Some people deserve the clothing that they wear, while others don't. Take, for instance, the story of Yosef. The Torah tells us that when Yosef approaches his brothers, Vayafshitu es Yosef es kutanto, the brothers strip Yosef of his ksones pasim. Why did they do this? The simple answer is that they felt annoyed. They were angry at Yosef. He was Yaakov Avinu's favorite. So they took away his ksones pasim because that was the object that had generated jealousy, their feelings of hatred toward Yosef. The Rav said that perhaps there was something deeper going on here. We know that Yosef had dreamt that he would be the leader over the Shvatim, that he would be their melech. But the Shvatim disagreed vehemently as they said to him, Hamaloch, Timloch, Aleinu, are you going to be our king? The Shvatim felt that Yosef didn't have the right to be their king. He didn't deserve to be their leader, to rule over the family. Maybe that's the reason why the first thing that the Shvatim do when Yosef approaches them is they take off his ksones pasim. Because that ksones pasim symbolized the beged of Malchus. What the Shvatim were hinting to Yosef is that he didn't have the right to rule over them. He didn't deserve to be their melech. But Yosef proved otherwise. What happens next? Yosef is sold into slavery. He goes down to Mitzrayim. Ultimately, he becomes the second in command, right under Paro, the viceroy of Mitzrayim. Yosef is almost like a king. The Shvatim come down to Mitzrayim, and they bow down to Yosef. They're forced to treat Yosef like a king. In the end, Yosef proves to his brothers that he really did deserve that ksones pasim. He really did deserve to wear bigdei malchus. By contrast, we find several characters in the story of Purim that seem to wear or try to wear begadim that they don't really deserve. Chazal tell us that in the special Seuda Achashverosh makes for the city of Shushan, he uses the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash, he wears Bigdei Kohuna. Achashverosh didn't deserve to wear Bigdei Kohuna. He wasn't even from the Zera Malucha, as Vashti so derisively points out to him. The emperor was wearing clothes, but the clothes didn't fit the person. And Haman, what happens when Haman is asked what to do? Lo ish asher amelech chafetz bikaro. What does Haman answer? Yaviu levush malchus. Let them dress this individual in the royal clothes, the royal garments. Put a keser malchus berosho. Put a crown on his head. Why did Haman say this? We know Chazal say Haman wanted to be king himself. He thought the king wanted to honor him, to honor Haman. And Haman had delusions of grandeur. So he wanted to wear the royal vestments. He wanted to wear Bigdei Malchus. And that was the beginning of his downfall. Maybe the reason we dress up on Purim is to poke fun both at Achashverosh and at Haman. Because these two people wore begadim or tried to wear begadim that they didn't deserve. By wearing masks and costumes on Purim, we demonstrate that we understand this lesson, that this behavior is not proper, and that we accept to always present ourselves in an honest fashion. But there's another reason we dress up on Purim, and this relates to the other famous minig that is associated with this Yom Tov. It's actually not a minig, it's a chiv, it's a mitzvah. What am I referring to? Of course, the mitzvah, chayavinish levesume bipuraya. A person has to get drunk on Purim. You know, Chazal say everything needs mazel, even a Sefer Torah. Some Sefer Torah we read every Shabbos from, we read every Monday and Thursday. Other Sefer Torah on a special occasion, a Parsha Zachar, a Parsha Shkolim, we'll read from that Sefer Torah. And other Sifrei Torah, we don't read from at all. We dance with them on Simchas Torah maybe, but we don't really read from them. Even a Sefer Torah Shebeheichel needs mazel. The Chazon Ish used to say that even mitzvahs need mazel. There are some mitzvahs that people are very careful about, they're very medaktik about. And other mitzvahs people totally ignore. This mitzvah, Chaya Vinish Levesumei Bepuraya, this mitzvah has mazel. People are very medaktik in this mitzvah. You know, there's a famous kula that the Ramah has that you can fulfill this mitzvah by drinking just a little bit more than what you normally drink. But for some reason in this area, people are not looking for any kulas. They want to be machmer, kedasu kedin, to be mekayim, the mitzvah, appropriately, so to speak. What's the purpose of this mitzvah? Mishnah Berurah quotes from Mefarshim who ask, we know the Torah doesn't advocate shichras, it doesn't support getting drunk, we don't believe in escapism, in losing control, so what's the purpose of this mitzvah to get drunk on Purim? The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Avudram, a famous answer, that because all the Nisim of Purim occurred through Mishtos of Yayin, Vashti was killed through a Mishtah of Yayin, Esther was crowned during a Mishtah of Yayin, of course the downfall of Haman occurred through a series of different Mishtos of Yayin, so that's why, since the Nes of Purim occurs as a result of Mishtos of Yayin, so as a Zecha to the Nes, we get drunk on Purim. I think maybe there's another message here as well, and perhaps there's a connection between this mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim and the custom to wear costumes. We all know that the Nes of Purim was not a Nes Nigla. It wasn't a supernatural miracle. It was a Nes Nistar. It was hidden. It happened during a time of Golos, during a time of Hester Panim. The Yad Hashem was somewhat concealed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was certainly acting there. He was working behind the scenes to foil Haman's plot. Mefarshim point out that because the Nes of Purim was a Nes Nistar, we don't say Halal on Purim. The Gemara actually cites three different reasons for why we don't say Halal on Purim. The Rambam paskens like the third reason, that Kriyasa Zohi Halela, the reading of the Megillah is in place of Halal. So Halal seems to be appropriate on Purim, and one would think that if you don't have a Megillah, you would recite Halal. Why not? It's an appropriate gesture on Purim. And nevertheless, the Shari Tshuva paskens that if you don't have a Megillah, you don't recite Halal. Why not? The answer given is that Halal, since it mentions the Nisim Gluim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, Halal would be an inappropriate expression of thanks to the Nes Nistar of Purim. The only way we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu appropriately for the Nes Nistar of Purim is by reading about the story of Haman, by reading the Prakim of the Megillah, which describe how Haman's downfall was orchestrated by Hashem through a seemingly natural sequence of historical events. Some of the Balei Machshava suggest that maybe this is why we wear masks and costumes on Purim, to demonstrate that we understand that there was a Nes on Purim as well. It may have been a Nes Nistar, but there was a Nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol was wearing a mask. The Yad Hashem was concealed, but he was still pulling all of the strings. In a sense, the deeper message of the costumes is to show that sometimes the superficial appearance of a person or a historical event is somewhat deceptive. And part of the avoda of Purim is to make a commitment to always try to penetrate the veils of illusion that we find in this world, to always look for the emes that's hidden beneath the surface. You know, sometimes we don't even notice what's in front of our very noses. Take the signs that we see on the walls here around us. Did you read the signs? Does anyone know what the signs say? When you walk into the entrance of the building, you see a very large sign. I think most of us never read the sign. We just wondered what kind of photocopying machine can make such a large sign. But the sign says that this is a time that we're supposed to be mechazik in Torah. This is a time that all B'nai Torah used to add to their learning, to add more starim to the learning. We find that it's a challenging time. It's midterm season, and it's difficult to balance Talmud Torah with the pressures of college. But we should know that if we put in our effort, we have to try Habalitar, Messiah, and Oso. If we try, we'll get the Siyata Deshmaya, not only to be Matzliach in our tests, but to be Mechazik ourselves in Torah as well. Sometimes we don't notice what's in front of our noses, but sometimes we have to look beneath the surface to arrive at the emes. Perhaps this is the purpose of getting drunk on Purim as well. You see, most people are controlled by social norms. In public, they're quiet, they're more reserved. They don't reveal their innermost feelings, even if those feelings are very beautiful. Even if deep inside they have great feelings of Kedusha, they have a burning desire to grow in Torah and in Yirat Shamayim. But just give them a little bit to drink, let them loosen up, and then you'll see their true feelings. You'll hear of their passion for Torah and mitzvos. You'll hear them talk about how much they desire to grow, the feelings of Kedusha they have, how much they want to live a life as a Ben Torah, to live a life of Kedusha. You know, when people get drunk, they often cry, because tears are the expression of the inner neshama. They're an expression of the deepest feelings that a person has inside. Nichnas yayin yotzei sod. When wine comes in, that's when the deepest secrets come out. This is one of the goals of Purim. As we recognize that we can't understand the world around us without looking beneath the superficial veneer, so too on a personal level. We shouldn't keep all of our beautiful, positive emotions bottled up inside. Rather, we should uncover our true selves. We should discover our true selves. We should realize what feelings of Kedusha we have deep inside, and we should act on those feelings. I think maybe there's another message hidden in this mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim as well. The Sefer Emek Bracha quotes from the Brisker Rav that the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim is very different than the mitzvah of Simcha that we have on all of the other Yomim Tovim. On all the other Yomim Tovim, we have a chiyuv to eat meat and to drink wine, but all the eating and drinking is really only a means toward achieving a sense of spiritual happiness. L'smach ba'Hashem, as the Pasuk says, Nogila v'nismach abach. But on Purim, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is mishta v'simcha. There doesn't seem to be any connection between the eating, between the drinking of wine, and feeling a heightened sense of spiritual happiness. The mitzvah of simcha on Purim seems to be focused exclusively on physical enjoyment, almost like it's an end unto itself. What's the meaning behind such a mitzvah? I think maybe the answer is that the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim is really to be physically happy. Namely, to feel happy and content with our portion in life. And let me explain by way of a comment that Rav Shlomo Gansri, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, makes in his Sefer on Chumash. Whenever you find the Torah talking about Shabbos, it either says Sheshes Yamim Tasem Alachtechu Vayom Hashvi'i Tishbos Vayom Hashvi'i Shabbos Shabboson, or it says Sheshes Yamim Teyosem Alachem. Why does the Torah sometimes use this passive Lashon Teyosem Alachem? And why does the Torah always preface its discussion of Shabbos by talking about the other days of the week? The author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch suggests that the Torah means to teach us a fundamental yesod about Shabbos. In order to rest peacefully on Shabbos, a person has to appreciate the other days of the week. He has to have the right perspective on the other days of the week. If a person thinks that it's his energy, it's his effort, it's his intellect that's getting him parnosa, he'll never relax on Shabbos. Because every moment he takes away from work, he prevents himself from making more money. The only way a person can truly rest on Shabbos is if he realizes that although we certainly have to put in hishtadlus, we have to put in our effort, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one determining how much parnasa we can make. On the surface, it seems as though we're putting in effort, we're actively involved in making parnasa, but the truth is it really happens by itself. The melacha happens by itself. Te'osa melacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the one determining how much money we can make. Most of us live with feelings of jealousy and competition in our hearts because we don't realize who's running the show. We don't internalize our knowledge of who's running the show. When we see the Nes of Purim, we see the Yad Hashem in Teva. It gives us a sense of comfort. It makes us feel a little bit more at ease because we realize that we're only going to get what's coming to us anyway. Maybe that's why there's a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. Did you ever see someone drunk? He's so happy. He's bouncing off the walls. Nothing bothers him. Why not? Because all his fears and concerns and his troubles have melted away. Getting drunk on Purim is the ultimate demonstration that we realize that the Yad Hashem is governing Teva, that there's divine intervention in everything in life. And it shows that we're really happy with what we have. This might be the deepest connection, in fact, between the minig to wear costumes on Purim, which demonstrates our understanding of Hester Panim, and this mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. And this perhaps can also explain what the Sifrei Kabbalah write, that Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim because it's a day like Purim. What does this mean? At first glance, Yom Kippur and Purim seem to be total opposites. Yom Kippur is a day which is entirely devoted to Kiddusha, we even fast, and Purim seems to be focused exclusively on physical pleasure. Doesn't seem to be any connection to Kiddusha per se. So what's the connection between Yom Kippur on the one hand and Purim? Maybe the answer is that the goal both on Yom Kippur and Purim is the same, just the means is different. Yom Kippur is described in the Piyut of Tfilas Musaf as a Yom Azivas Kin of Esachrus. It's a day that we abandon jealousy and competition. How do we do that? By fasting. By fasting, we disconnect a little bit from our physical bodies. We're not as concerned with ourselves and with the world outside. So we're not taken as much by the negative emotions that we normally have. We can finally feel content for everything we have in life. Drinking on Purim achieves the same result. We rid ourselves of our fears and concerns, of our feelings of jealousy and competition, and then we can be truly happy for everything that we have in life. Of course, the ultimate goal is to maintain that sense of happiness even after the effects of the wine are long gone. Let's hope that after this coming Purim, we'll have fond memories of how we got drunk on Purim, when we sang of our desire to grow in Torah and Ruchnius. We expressed our love for each other and for other people, and we truly felt happy for everything we had in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us the insight to celebrate Purim appropriately, and we should all be zocheh to see Layhudim Haisa'ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Kar.